Good morning.
Our today's Bible reading is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17 to 19. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17 to 19. It reads, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of them, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness." This is the end of the reading. May God bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I always say it, but it's good to be here Sunday morning. So we give thanks to God. We welcome all our visitors here today. We want to thank you for being with us. Just over here, we have a tradition. And one of the greatest blessings, ask Brother Powell. To our visitors, we'd like to give you a Bible as a gift from the congregation. And there's also one for Andy over there. Andy, we welcome you as well today. We're so glad that you're here. So welcome. And please accept that as a token of our appreciation as we welcome you here today. It's good to be here. I think when your birthday falls on a Sunday, you should get a mention from the pulpit. So, Orson's birthday today. We've not forgot. It's a birthday today. We give thanks to God for you, for your family, and we're just so glad that you get to celebrate that day here in the congregation. So we thank God for that. Also, some more news as well. That just to let the congregation know that Brother Dylan. Has placed membership with the congregation here in Leicester. That is just the prayer answered, and we just give him thanks. I know that he's been coming for some time, but he wanted to do that. So we welcome him, and we look forward to being able to serve alongside him as well with the ministry here. God is good all the time, never fails. Oh my, it never surprises us, does it? Well, I think sometimes it surprises us, but it's because we're so naive that we forget. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning in relation to how amazing God is. You know, that God sees the things that we just never see, and we can never take it into account. It's hard to put into words. You know, you say, with an example would be our building, of course. We're looking to purchase a building. And we've been raising the funds and getting the funds together, and the funds came that we can buy our building. I mean, that is God's work. That is God's work. You know, Brother Gary had already mentioned today, you know, about, you know, for example, going to the doctors, you know, you have faith in God, but you've got to do things and put things into action. And that's what we've sought to do as a congregation, because that is the time. But you see, when you see things how God sees things, then you begin to understand that God is in control. And I think often in our life, what we do is we always see things in that physical way. We always see things in that human kind of way, because that is our nature. And I chose, just as a quick introduction, we're not basing a whole lesson on this, but we read from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians is a wonderful, you want to know how to live as a Christian, you want to know how to be a husband and wife, you want to know how to be a father, a mother, or anything, go to Ephesians. Amazing. Amazing. In fact, some time back, many years ago, Brother Gary taught a series on Ephesians. I pray, God willing, we'll get him to do it again, because he did such a good job. But listen, in chapter 4 and verse 17, this I say therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk in the rest as the rest, no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. There you go, here's the mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And you know, quite often, that is what guides us. It's the blindness of our heart. We don't see things the way God sees them. And we fail to see his vision. You know, and what do? We doubt God. We doubt it. You know, there are people in this room that have been through things that have maybe have been prolonged. It's taken such a long time for things to come together. And there are times when you could almost doubt God because you cannot see what God can see. And yet God sees things in a different way. Without any doubt, you know, the things that he pictures. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. One of my favourite books in the Bible, Kings. I love doing studies on it. I love doing classes on it. I love preaching on it. And just using it for myself as well. You know, here in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8, it says this. Now, the king of Syria, that's 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 8. Now, the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told to him, saying, surely, he is in Dothan. And therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And in verse 19 it reads, now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. Verse 21. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father shall kill them. Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And then finally in verse 23, then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. And I can't think of a better way in a lesson, to just read a passage. It speaks so beautifully of itself. You know, that is the power of God. That is the power of his holy word. How can we use this in our life, brethren? How can we use this? Look at the context. Aram is at war with Israel. Who are you at war with? Who are you at war with? And I'm not talking about your neighbours, and I'm not talking about people in other lands. I'm talking about the war and conflicts that we have with Satan. How Satan is working at our lives every day, trying to get you to fall. How Satan, as Brother Gabby said, he's here in this room today. He will be in your car going home, he'll be in your house, everywhere you go. He will be there. He is the one who we are at war with. And in the passage it says Aram was at war with Israel. But the king of Israel seemed to be able to predict Aram's army movements. In other words, there is the king of Aram at war with Israel. And every time that the king makes a plan to overpower and destroy Israel, the man of God tells his man, his servant, who tells Israel, and they avoid that area. Everywhere that Aaron's army goes, Israel is one step ahead. How can that be? How can that be? How can we go through this life with Satan and always be one step ahead? How do we do that? So much so was God's ability to know what the enemy was doing that the king of Aram assumed that he had spies in his own number. So there's this king. He says, tomorrow we're going to go down to this area and we're going to wait for the Israelites, and when they come, we're going to overpower them. And so God tells his servant. And then his servant says to the king of Israel, don't go there tomorrow, because the king of Aram is sitting waiting for you. And so they go a different way. And then the next day the king of Aram says, right, to his people, tomorrow we're going to wait this side. And when the Israelites come, we will overpower them and we will kill them. And so God tells his servant, tell the Israelites not to go that way tomorrow, because the king of Aram's waiting there, and when they come, he's going to destroy them. So he tells that to the king, and the Israelites go the other way. And the king of Aram is so annoyed, he says, who is the spy in my camp? Who is the one that is telling these people? And so annoyed was he, but he never had a spy in his camp, not in a human form, of course. But what was happening was that God was speaking to his prophet Elisha, who was telling God's people what to avoid. What does God tell you in your life to avoid? What is God telling you every day to avoid? He says, Paul, control that mood of yours. Have a little bit of patience. Learn to listen more and keep this quiet. Paul, you know, you've got to change the way that you're dealing with these situations going on in your life. Each and every person in this room, God is warning you through his holy word of how to avoid the enemy. And if we use our wisdom and listen to what God is saying, we will know where the enemy is, and we will be able to take the different route. And you see, the spy, of course, was God. God was the one. Because divine knowledge allows Elisha to pass that knowledge to the king and so preserve and protect God's people. So who are you at war with? Who is your guide? Who is the one that has all the solutions and answers to our problems in life? You see, it's God. We find them in here. when we go through our Bible studies and we learn how to live. You see, our Bible studies is about applying lifestyle. It's about applying a walk that we are on. We are on a different walk to the world. We are in a different path than the rest of the people who have not yet received the message. That is our job. With 500,000 people in this city, brethren, this is our task. This is what we are going to be doing. And this is what we need to be doing. Is telling everybody. Telling them as those who have received the message, the warnings to those in the world of the enemy and what he is doing. You know, God does not predict, or God did not predict the devil's location. God knows exactly where Satan is. God knows everything about Satan. He knows our weaknesses and he knows what Satan will use to trip us. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, it said, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times of past to the fathers by the prophets, even through him. We see how God spoke to his prophets. But as in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So the king of Aram realizes that he needs to do something. This is a problem. I'm going to have to sort this prophet of God's out. I'm going to have to sort this man out. And so he sends his army to find Elisha in order to capture him. Imagine this. Imagine being in this camp. And you wake up in the morning and you walk out, you know, you open your curtains in the morning, you just open the curtains and you go, wow, what a beautiful day. You imagine opening them curtains and looking out and you look up and you see an army surrounding you. You look and you chuck them again and shake your head and open it and have another look and think, oh my goodness me, I've got a problem here. There's an army and this man is fierce. This man is not somebody to just walk away from. He sends his army from in order to find Elisha and to capture him. Elisha's servant looks out and panic strikes him. And Elisha's servant sees that they are surrounded, just as many would do in his situation. He calls out in panic, we're doomed. We're done for. How many times has the devil put an army of problems in front of you and you have said, I'm done. I'm finished. You know, the devil puts things in front of us sometimes that seem virtually impossible. 3 months ago, we go and see a building without a penny in the bank. And all the brothers stand around with a smile on their face and they shake each other's hands and say, we'll buy it. 3 months. And you think, that's a mountain to climb. That's a lot of prayer. That's a lot of faith. That's a lot of commitment. You see, not only that, but there are obstacles in your life right now that are standing between you and God. And they seem so great that it's like you're looking out the window at an army, an enemy facing you, and you're thinking, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? He says, he as good as says, we're doomed. Almost makes you want to give up, doesn't it? You know, we might expect Elisha to say, I tell you what, folks, you're right. We are doomed. This is a big army. Listen, let's find a way out of here and let's just run. Let's get away from this. You ever tried running and hiding from your problems? Things going on in your life and you think, I'm just going to disappear. And hopefully my problems will disappear. Or if I race off and leave my problems where they are, they'll be gone. And then you suddenly realise, oh, they've come with me. I thought I could run and leave them. He speaks. This is what Elisha does. He does something much better. He speaks a word of God. Don't be afraid. When you face your trials and problems in your life, let me tell you something, don't be afraid. And what does Elisha do? He prays. What is a better place to go than to God in prayer? You know, sometimes we face these problems and we run. We don't approach them. We don't say, listen, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to pray to my God and I'm going to call on Him. Oh Lord, he says, the prophet says, oh Lord, and he's talking about his servant, open his eyes and let him see. In other words, brethren, you know, you're going through things. My prayer for you today is that God will open your eyes and let you see. Let you see that these things that you are facing, God is with you. He is at your side. God answers Elisha's prayer, of course. He answers his prayer, and Elisha's servant looks up and sees a different picture. First of all, he opens and looks and sees this enemy around him. The next time he looks, he sees the power of God surrounding him. He sees the hillside covered with horses and chariots of fire. Now, I'm not saying you're going to look out and see a load of horses on fire and stand out. You've got to see the presence of God. You've got to see the power of God and what God can do in your life to make that difference. If you look out of your life every day and all you ever see is an enemy, you're never going to defeat it. You have to look out and see the enemy because of the warnings that we have of where the enemy is. But then we have to see the power of God. God's protection becomes visible. And God rescues Elisha because Elisha could see that. And he wanted his servant to see that. And so that his servant could see that God would be the one that would stand and protect him. I want to focus on one thing this morning, and it's this. Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And I want this congregation to visually see that in a spiritual form, that God is with you in this walk that we have. There's so much in this story about blindness and sight. You know, first of all, Elisha and Israel are able to see as God sees. You know, and then are given divine knowledge and vision of Aaron's movements because God gave them the vision to see that. And God allowed them to see that. But then Elijah's servant, when he was facing the peril and the danger, he was blinded. Now, what are you going through today? It may be health. It may be relationships. It might be finance and career. It could be your living circumstances are so difficult. Maybe you just feel like your life is caving in around you. One of the biggest problems we have today in this modern day is depression and anxiety. And there are people with that. I know people here who suffer and deal with them kind of things. Because the devil is placing everything in your path. What is his purpose? He wants you to fall. He wants you to see the enemy and say, I give in. I always remember at school as a young child, we used to play in the playground. You'd run around and you'd try and get each other on the floor. The boys were the worst, and you'd pull each other down. And the idea was you had to get on top of them and squeeze them as tight as you can until they shout, I submit. As soon as they say submit, you let them go. And you won and that was the game, you know. But that is how the devil is. He's putting a tight hold on you. And he's waiting for you to say, I give in. That's what he wants you to do. And so when that happens, brethren, you're blinded. When that happens, whenever you feel like you want to give in, I want you to picture that servant opening his curtain in the morning and looking out and seeing the enemy. And then I want you to remember Elisha, pray to God and say, God, open his eyes that he can see. And God opened Elisha's eyes and he looked and he saw God's presence. That's what I want you to see. God's presence, because God is with you. Are we blind or do we see God? You know, we should see God in our life. Jesus says that many won't understand his parables because they have been blinded to the truth. When he was teaching the ministry, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Why? He doesn't want them to see, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. And that is our biggest problem. Visibility. Our vision. We fail spiritually to see God. And I want to encourage you today to change that. And see. And pray for God to enlighten you. As Jesus died on the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They were blindness. In the same passage in Kings, we won't go into this now, because we're going to conclude the lesson. But in that passage, it talks about how the enemy then was blinded. In the Hebrew translation, the actual blindness was a confusion. It wasn't complete blindness as they couldn't see in a physical form, but it was a blinded confusion. That's in the translation, in the original language, in the Hebrew language. But what it see, the point is this, that they their whole minds were scrambled. You see, the blindness that we have is a spiritual one. Jesus saw God's plan. But those who nailed him to the cross were blind to what God was doing. But we as Christians have broken bread this morning to remember we are not blind. And so therefore, let me encourage you today. God's presence, God's protection, and God's provision. Let me encourage you to remember that he is at your side at this time. In Psalm 146 and verse 8, and we'll conclude with that. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. God is with us. God is with you. He will protect you. He will guide you. He will be at your side. So let me encourage you, brethren. Let God open your eyes so that you can see that he is with you. Let's have an invitation. Thank you.
Amen.